Next on BYUSN, ball night as BYU looks to snap a three-game losing streak against Oklahoma State. Do the Cougars need to just win or win with style points? We react to the best sound from head coach Kevin Young on BYU's rotations and the freshman struggles of Yegor Demian and Cannon Catchings.
BYU signee and the number one recruit in the country, A.J. DeBonta, makes his BYU Sports Nation debut as we discuss his excitement to play for the Cougars and his life outside of basketball. And Top 5 Tuesday features the best wins over Oklahoma State in the Big 12 era for the Cougs.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, January 14th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who is always paying attention to college football, in season or not, Jerem Jordan.
There is a fan named Michael Barker, whose dad Kurt played at BYU, by the way, who was featured in an Athletic article where he went to 104 college football games this last year.
I'm sorry, how many?
He went to many. Okay, he's been to all 134 programs in FBS and 95 of the 129 FCS. That's incredible. His last BYU game was 22 against Utah State.
104?
That's amazing.
Do you do anything else with your life if you're going to that many college football games? Like, that is like priority. It's clearly priority number one for him. Does he have a job? How much money does
Nothing
that cost?
Nothing screams I'm single. Like, I've been to 104 college football games. I am actually jealous of that. I think that's really fun.
104?
You got out of a lot of dough to make that happen, by the way.
Bro.
Unless he's getting media passes.
Wow. Like, how many days of travel did that require? It feels like a year-round venture. Or he's trying to go, like, three games. Maybe he's doing the Maction on Wednesday. He's doing a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday scenario, like city to city.
It's just travel game.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like Tuesdays and Wednesdays are my least favorite days of the year in the fall because we have no football. Until Maction, but I'm not watching Maction. You know, sorry.
You're not all in.
I'm doing
on
other
that.
Stuff.
You're not 104 games in attendance in one season yet.
No. I know you went to 13. That's what I know.
And I felt like I was maxed out. Good grief.
What a week!
On that note, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
You know, I'm excited about this, getting through this difficult period of time. You know, could be a bit more aggressive. You got to go through it, man. Sometimes the only way to go through it is just to go through it. He made a heck of a play, so you got to give him credit for that.
BYU head coach Kevin Young, as he so often does, Jerem, keeping it very real while speaking to the media and addressing a number of topics, some that are tough to talk about. Because BYU's lost three games in a row and how he's trying to turn things around. Coach Young was asked specifically how he's balancing wanting to do things better compared to change it all up. This is a portion of the answer to that question.
Before, but I'm constantly asking myself, are we on the right path? And I think the path for me is defined in a couple of different ways. One is, are you playing the right guys? And if so, are you playing the right combinations of guys? That's number one. Number two is schematically, are you on the right path? And so the general answer to most of those questions is yes. There's some combinations that I'm still tinkering with that are holding us back. I got to get that right. The other part is keeping everything in perspective. And I think that's a really important message I want to share with our guys today. You guys have been covering sports a long time. You know how fragile sports are, right? And it's not, and I'm not saying this to try to, you know, make myself feel better, but you know, you're probably, and this is just the reality of it, you're one turnover less away from beating Ole Miss, who's a, you know, a really good team, top 25 team. You're probably one made three away from beating Texas Tech at home, who went on and probably should have beat Iowa State, third best team in the country. You're one turnover away from getting a good road win at TCU. All of a sudden, you're 3-1 in the Big 12. You just beat a SEC team in November, right? But we're not. We're on the other side of that. And so how do we respond to that? How do we keep all that stuff in a perspective, maintain our confidence, and understand that, this league is tough. Nothing's given to us, but it is, you know, it is very fragile. And so I think
we've been talking about just how delicate and razor-thin the margin of error is. Kevin Young knows all too well. He just documented it. So, Jerem, having listened to that again And you and I really appreciated just how genuine and real Coach Young was yesterday when addressing the tough questions.
He's not annoyed. He's not sidestepping it. He's answering the question.
So question for you is, does BYU need to just get better or continue to shake things up?
Typically in these answers, it's a mix of both. BYU certainly has to shoot the ball better from three. They have to defend the three. They have to continue to get to the free throw line. They need to make free throws. They've got to execute better at the end of games. They've been in those three games like Coach Young talked about. He talked about the margin there. I think it's both. I don't think BYU needs to shake things up drastically, but I do think they need to shake some things up. Obviously, it's not working, but they're so close to winning that I don't think you need to shake it up more than what the margin was. Does that make sense? BYU didn't lose three games in a row like the Houston game. They lost one of those. They were in the Texas Tech game until late. It was tied with 45 seconds against TCU. The margins are close. Like, even though I would argue BYU didn't play that well the last two games, they almost won still.
Sure.
So, no, I don't think BYU needs to shake it up drastically. Are there tweaks here and there? I think you should do that no matter how good you are. Even if things are going well, you should be constantly tweaking just based on what the needs are of the group.
Yeah, and when we say shake things up, are we referencing like, oh, change the whole starting five? We'll talk about that in a minute. But I don't think it's come to that drastic of a necessity just yet.
If BYU lost tonight against arguably the worst team in the Big 12,
then I would say something like that.
Okay, yeah, maybe two or three different guys. But we're not there yet. BYU's going to win by 15-plus tonight. I'm very confident in that.
BYU and Coach Young, again, we talked about this yesterday, and he pointed it out, had BYU won just one of those three close losses against Ole Miss, Texas Tech, or TCU, then they have a quad one win on the resume and something to hang their hat on and say, okay, well, we figured it out here. What were we doing here? But because they haven't, it's like, oh, man, they're 1-3. Like, what are they going to do? Something's got to change. Something has to change.
Because they're pacing for, you know, a tough time right now. You got to start to win. And like we talked about, the next four games, way more winnable.
The hard part is BYU has lost in different ways in every one of those three games. They played pretty well against Ole Miss, but had a critical turnover late and then lost some momentum in overtime.
Yeah, we're outscored by 11 quickly.
Yes, they were in position to win that game. They had control of the game at the end of regulation, but
had the last possession.
Bad turnover, lets Ole Miss tie it, and then you don't score the bucket at the end of the game. So, okay, that's one way to lose a game. And then you look at Texas Tech. BYU just didn't make shots on their home floor.
Right, they defended well enough.
They held Texas Tech
was below all their average.
And their amazing offense, well below what they usually do. But BYU just didn't make shots. And then you look at TCU. BYU just had too many turnovers. Then all of a sudden they weren't taking care of the ball like they did against Texas Tech.
Yeah. Turnovers have been pretty consistent, honestly, in all four Big 12 games. It's kind of been around 14-17.
Yeah, so BYU being outshot by 13 field goal attempts against TCU tells the story there. So it's kind of feels like a different thing every time. So that alone tells me like, okay, well, because you've lost in different ways, you don't need to change everything. If you were losing consistently and badly and it was always the same thing, then it's like, all right, we clearly got to do something different.
Right.
This is minor. These are minor tweaks, and you hope that you can get some of those things to come together in your favor tonight. Certainly playing a team that is not as good as Texas Tech or Houston or even TCU, like Oklahoma State on your home floor, can help you develop some of that confidence. And BYU, I expect to make a bunch more shots than they did the last time they played on their home floor. So, no, like, is there a different guy inserted into the starting lineup tonight? Maybe. Maybe one guy different. Maybe he rolls a little bit more heavily with the veterans tonight to establish some presence and some leadership there. But this is not like a wholesale change. Switch out the storefront. We're going with a totally different approach. It's way too early to do that.
That's an emotionally unstable way to approach this. beware the friend or the person that says, no, they need a whole new starting five. Huh?
The person who speaks in superlatives and fans in superlatives is dangerous a little
Only
bit.
Only a Sith speaks in absolute, Spencer. Which brings us to this. Coach Young was asked if he likes the rotations he used in Saturday's game at TCU. He identified one specific set of five, a lineup that he liked the best.
The lineup that I did really like was, you know, Dallin, Trevin, Richie, Mawut, and Foos. You know, that was the group that really pushed us to a nice little run there to end the first half. So, and what's the commonality with that group? You got a lot of veteran guys out there that know what they're doing, right? And our young guys can learn from that, you know, learn from the attention to detail that those guys played with, and the necessary competitive spirit, consistent possession after possession is ultimately what those guys did. And so that's something that our young guys can learn from.
Okay, so what do you think the starting lineup should look like against Oklahoma State tonight? Like if Coach Young said, hey, Spence, I'm finally going to let you pick the starting five. And you're like, why?
Yeah, please don't let me choose the starting five.
What would you select?
If I'm driving that train, and everyone knows that I've been blowing the whistle and wanting to gain attention for BYU's veterans. Like, I am inclined to lean on BYU's veterans right now, and he just outlined that. Who gave BYU the best chance and put him in good position going into the halftime locker room momentum? It was just a bevy of veterans.
14-1 run to end the half.
However, I'm not ready to take Yegor Deming out of the starting lineup just yet. I think he should still start at point guard. I love the idea of Dallin Hall taking on the Jackson Robinson role last year, playing starter minutes, but coming off the bench, having a feel for the game, letting it settle in for a few minutes, then coming in, and he's just an immediate, like, uptick of energy and good decisions and taking really, yeah, really mature shots. So I like Yegor still starting. Trevin Nell, Richie Saunders, Cannon Catchings, and then I'm giving Foos the start. I want Foos to bring a little bit more offense immediately from the get-go, and he's making a ton of his free throws. So if you can draw some fouls inside, if that monster double team comes on Foos and he's having trouble passing out of it, then maybe you switch things up, but see how Oklahoma State's going to guard him. But that's my starting five. So a couple of, you know, minute changes, but I still like Down coming off the bench playing starter minutes.
I go with the same as TCU. I want to see what that looks like over a couple of games, especially a game like tonight at home. What does that look like when you're at home against a team that you should beat? Can that be really good for you?
So same as me, except for Kaba instead of Foos?
Yeah. Well, Catchings is still in there. Yep. Yegor, Richie.
Trevin.
Yeah. So, yeah, and it's interesting because there's two things at play here, especially with Yegor and Dallin. And we talked last week about this because we could kind of see it coming, right? Of like, okay, how are they gonna work at the same time? You can't, if you're BYU and Kevin Young, just ignore one, the way Yegor's shooting. He's in a slump. It is what it is. The numbers say it. But also, you need to get him right because he's important for the program. Because A.J. DeBonsa, part of the reason he comes here is because BYU got a Yegor Deming. And Kevin Young has been in the NBA. Like, BYU has got a lottery pick projected in the program. Is he playing like a lottery pick right now? No, he's not. But he's going to, we hope, right? He's going to get right. He's struggling to shoot from the field. But I don't know that you can be like, bro, you're on the bench now. Your NIL with Yegor and these guys, like, that is a influential factor in where and how they play.
And an
when
investment.
They play, right? So you invest in that guy in the starting lineup. Now, if Yegor shoots like this for six more games, now it's a different conversation. Maybe he needs to come off the bench. I don't think you put Yegor on the bench right now.
Not right now.
You need to get him in a flow offensively when he's in the game, whatever. Dallin Hall is sort of the Y factor here. He's the hinge of success probably for this team. Like, if he can embrace and be good in that role off the bench, now it changes things. And oh, by the way, they will play on the court at the same time together. They still need to figure that out.
Yeah, just not as much.
It's still a question mark of, like, how's that going to work? I don't know the answer to that. That's why the coaching staff gets paid way more than we
do.
They're going to figure that out. But it needs to be figured out. Richie, how can he doesn't have to be a 26 every third game guy. I just want him to continue to be like a 10 to 15 guy and then do his thing. Trevin Nell, knock down shots. Cannon Catchings has got to figure some things out. He is going through a struggling time as well. The good news is the next 3 to 4 games are a place where BYU can figure some things
out.
I'm excited about this week and next week to see what that looks like for BYU.
A few things. If Dallin Hall and Yegor Deming are on the floor at the same time, I said it late in the show yesterday, I think Dallin should be the primary ball handler, and Yegor should attempt to play off the ball and try try and get comfortable that way.
Is that the best move for BYU right now? I agree. I'd like to see what that looks like. Can Yegor off the ball be as effective as he has been on the ball from an assist perspective? But we're not looking at assists. Yegor Demons second in the Big 12 in assists per game for the whole season. He has good numbers. It's can the offense flow? Can you knock down shots?
Yeah.
Get Yegor in, like, the pick and roll with Downhill and Foose downhill. You kick to, oh, it's not Trevin, it's Yegor wide open. Let's get Yegor
feeling good in that spot. Some open shots that you now watch drop in, and he feels better. And even if the shot's not open, the idea of him catching the ball, having a defender close on him, and then him being able to use his, you know, innate basketball acumen and his skill set to get around said defender when he's catching the ball and there's movement. I like the idea
of that. Whether that's an open shot or now he makes an extra pass because he has great vision.
So that's a subtle thing that I would do if both of them are on the floor together.
I think it'd be a mistake to be like, you know what we should do with Dallin Hall? Ignore him and get everyone else going. No, this is the leader from last year's team that was very good.
Thank you.
Like
Thank you for joining me.
He needs to be a huge piece of this. Richie needs to be a huge piece of this. Trevin and Foose needs to be huge pieces of this. Then you add the other guy. Like, maybe the equation was a little skewed from the beginning of the year of what maybe we're figuring out now, which is I think the new guys should have complimented the veterans, not the veterans complimenting the new guys. I don't know. We're still figuring out those rotations.
But how do you know until you know, which is what Kevin Young said. Yep. You don't really know until you go through it.
Ultimately, this is a team. They need to come together. They need to win tonight.
Yes. Speaking of those young, talented players in Yegor Damian and Cannon Catchings, Coach Young spoke specifically and was asked about their recent struggles and what's going on there.
You know, I think his shooting woes are probably weighing on him. I think he's in the last two games, outside of that last shot that he took at TCU, I think he's taken more of the right shots. You know, I think he's in a pretty good rhythm offensively as it relates to just his attacking. You know, he had a couple uncharacteristic turnovers that I know he'd want to have back, but you know, he's got to go through it a little bit. You know, Cannon's one of the most coachable guys on our team. I love coaching Cannon because if I tell him something, he really locks into it. You know, he's going through a little bit of a tough spell right now. I think his defensive intensity has to pick up. You know, I think offensively, efficiency-wise, he's made strides. I think he's taken the shots that are good shots for him.
The coaching staff, having continued on that conversation about Cannon Catchings and what's going on there, I think they're absolutely onto something there. Get right defensively. Create that energy defensively because Kevin Young was just talking about the intensity.
Held him accountable right there.
And then it will translate to the other side of the floor on offense. Make some plays on defense and just get the energy going that way.
And then be efficient. Take good shots. Yes. Like at the beginning of the year, he's taking some tough shots. He's taking better shots now. They only played him 9 minutes on Saturday. So certainly, perhaps he didn't do something that they liked within the system. But he's very coachable, which is good, which means he's going to get better should he listen, right? And it seems like he is a guy that's going to listen and do that. So I'm excited the next couple of games to see these guys grow. They're going through a little spell here. We shouldn't be overly surprised, certainly, since there's NBA conversation around them. We expect a lot. Right now we're sort of battling the expectation versus production conversation, but these guys are gonna play better, certainly. Yegor's not going to shoot like this.
No.
He is really shooting poorly
right
now.
Safe to say, we want
this is hopefully the end of this spell.
We're talking about what we want to see tonight. We want to see a few shots drop for Yegor. We want to see him value possession of the ball, and we want to see defensive intensity from Cannon Catchings that translates into some confidence on offense.
I want to see him at the rim, too. Like, he's
attack.
Hard to
stop.
6'9", people aren't stopping him at the
attack.
Rim. Yeah. He's
all
getting
right
to the free throw line. He's not shooting well from the free throw line. He certainly can do that just a little bit better. Okay, finally, does BYU need to just win or win convincingly with some style points tonight against Oklahoma State?
They need to win convincingly. This is a team that won convincingly against a much better team than Oklahoma State. BYU already beat Arizona State. So if BYU can beat Arizona State by 20 on their home floor, then they need to do something similar against Oklahoma State, who is not as good a team as ASU. Like, so I'm not saying BYU needs to win by 20, but I'm hoping for 12 plus, and it's like the game is not in doubt with 8 minutes to go. Like, BYU's just locked it in.
Oklahoma State runs with more tempo. I think BYU's going to push it themselves. That'll actually be good for the offense. Oklahoma State turns you over a little bit. They get to the free throw line a lot. BYU can limit the turnovers, prevent a bunch of fouls. I think they win convincingly. I think BYU is going to cover their favorite by 15.
I expect it. I think they need to win that way. just to feel like to gain some confidence going into this critical four-game stretch starting with tonight.
Then you're at Utah. It's a true road, but it's close, and it's going to be a fun environment up there at the Huntsman Center.
Fun, volatile, probably their biggest crowd of the year. Our question of the day is this. What does a proper bounce back look like for BYU men's basketball tonight against Oklahoma State? At 201 TDS on X answers, a win would be nice. A 20-point margin of victory would be awesome.
Yeah, we're talking about winning, right? If BYU lost this game, the conversation we're going to have tomorrow would be uncomfortable because BYU would be in a weird, weird spot. You have to win this game. Have to win the game.
Yes.
I don't want to have that conversation.
Convincingly.
Oh.
Just leave no doubt.
Yeah, leave no doubt. Men's Hoops takes on Oklahoma State tonight, as we mentioned. Watch the warm-ups, get the insight and the latest from Spencer courtside and with us in the studio coming up tonight at 8 Eastern time. I know it says tomorrow, but it is tonight.
It is tonight.
Against Oklahoma State.
We're rolling with the vets tonight. Number one player in the country, we're also rolling with.
Hey!
AJ DeBonta is now a signee. He makes his debut on BYU Sports Nation. What he's looking forward to the most about playing in Provo and what his life is like outside of basketball. Don't go anywhere!
BYU is landing a generational talent.
AJ was in this year's recruiting class. If he was playing college basketball right now, he'd be the number one pick in the NBA draft.
It literally cannot get better than this. This is the top of the mountain.
It is the top of the recruiting mountain, quite literally.
Literally.
For Kevin Young, his staff, and BYU men's basketball. When you look at BYU signee AJ DeBonta, the number one ranked recruit in all the land. Well, we've got great news. We're beginning a regular segment with AJ as we build up to him coming to Provo and suiting up for BYU in the very near future. This is him making his show debut on BYU Sports Nation. And we didn't hold back, Jaron. We peppered him with a lot of questions. AJ DeBonta on BYU Sports Nation. AJ, let me start with a very warm and official welcome to BYU Sports Nation and your debut here. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, absolutely. Okay, I also want to follow this up with, because BYU fans want to know, at what point in your mind during that tournament in Hawaii did you think, okay, I'm going to pull off a between under the legs dunk in a game, and then you went and did it?
I mean, my trainer, like the day before, he told me if I did it, I'll get free dinner.
So it was worth it.
Yeah.
Oh. Was it a good dinner?
I didn't get it yet. I'm going to get it when I go back home.
Oh, good. Hold him to it.
That's awesome. Well, certainly the last couple of weeks have been busy and incredible as Cougar Nation has embraced you and you were here for halftime and everything. What's it been like since you announced that you're coming to BYU in terms of what your life's been like and the reception you've received from the fans?
I mean, it's been way stress-free, but I mean, like, I got to go on campus after I committed, and they were showing a bunch of love at the halftime introduction. And there's just guys on, like, Twitter, Instagram, they're showing a whole bunch of love in my comments, so it's great.
And you sat in the Rock student section, and the Rock gets a lot of notoriety. So what was it like to be a part of the Rock cheering for BYU, knowing that next year you will be the one inciting them and getting them hyped up?
Yeah, I mean, even on my visit, me and JJ were on a visit and football game here in the Rock, and it was crazy. So, I mean, I was in it before, but now I was officially in it because I was committed. So, I mean, it felt better.
Absolutely. That was a cool moment. What went into the decision to make First Take the place you wanted to announce that? And what was it like to kind of reveal that and reveal under the jacket you had the BYU shirt on?
I mean, nobody's done it on First Take before. And I'm like a big, like, guy that does, that wants to do stuff nobody really does, so.
Well, we liked the surprise, to say the least, and so did millions of BYU fans. But as you look back on your decision and choosing Kevin Young, and I know you've been asked this a few times, but just want to revisit some of these things. Why do you feel like Kevin Young is going to make you a better basketball player and prepare you for the NBA?
I mean, he's been in that position. I mean, he coached some of my favorite players, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, guys I've been knowing. So, I mean, if he's done that at the NBA level, he can definitely do it at the college level.
What kind of interaction have you had with those NBA guys? Because I saw you up at the Suns-Jazz game shortly after, and I know you were talking to Kevin Durant courtside. What kind of relationship do you have with some of these guys?
I mean, it's not crazy tight, obviously, because they have their own jobs going on and stuff like that. But, I mean, they just show a lot of support because they're vets in the game and they want to see the young guys succeed. So, I mean, I get to text them. I get to talk to them every time we go to games. So, I mean, it's fun just knowing the greats of the game.
That's awesome. And in a couple of years, you'll be the guy talking to the high school kid, reaching out to you, right, trying to figure that out, which is awesome. There are lots of player comparisons for you in the NBA. Which one do you like the most?
I mean, I like the Tracy McGrady-Shea comparison a lot, because that's like two guys I've been really studying my game after.
Like a jumbo guard that can do it all?
Exactly.
Awesome.
Which skills, one, are you working on right now, and are you hoping to continue to develop specifically at BYU to get you NBA ready?
I'm really working on my shot right now. So by the time I get to BYU, obviously I'm going to be playing with a farther line back. So, I mean, hopefully that season I can shoot 40%+, and it'll just make me higher chances of, you know, draft stock and all that.
Where do you feel like you're, and maybe it's everything, NBA ready right now?
I just think I can do a lot of stuff. I think I'm a two-way player. Not a lot of guys take pride in defense. So I think that's like one of the main things that stick out.
AJ DeBonsa is with us on BYU Sports Nation. We've learned recently that Xavion Staton has joined you at Utah Prep, and now you, as BYU guys together there, are going to be playing basketball with each other and then on to BYU. So what has the conversation been like with Xavion as he is now making plans to and transitioning to Utah Prep?
I mean, it's been great. He only played two games, but we had a couple practices, and I mean, obviously we're talking about the future. It's great though, getting that relationship early.
Are there any alley-oop combinations we could expect in Provo between you two?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I can't wait, man. And we all need headbands and goggles like him. Just one day, we'll do the whole show with like goggles. I think it'll be great. It's a good look. It's awesome.
I actually wore a headband in this game.
That's awesome. Okay, a Richie Saunders headband, the AJ DeBonsa headband, Xavion. I love it. What are you enjoying the most during this senior year at Utah Prep as you get ready to come to BYU and then the NBA as you continue to work on your game and your life?
I mean, it's just been fun. I mean, senior year is supposed to be the fun year. So, I mean, I'm just trying to enjoy it and not be too bored of it. So, I'm just having fun and just going to different cities. Like, my last time in high school, really just enjoying it. Because a lot of people say, like, when you graduate, you're going to miss it. So.
It's a fun time of life, absolutely. I don't think, though, a few years ago, you imagined you'd be in Hurricane, Utah, of all places. What's it been like to integrate into Southern Utah, which is one of the great spots in the state?
I mean, I only like it because nobody bothers me.
That's totally fair.
You can go to the grocery store and you're good?
I go to Walmart like once a week and I'm good.
Let's go. There's a good barbecue place down there as well. Yeah.
If you go down into St. George, though, watch out. They'll stop you, right?
I mean, I've got some stops, but it's not crowds of people.
I did want to ask you the role that living in Southern Utah had on maybe the influence that maybe BYU had on you. If you didn't live in Hurricane, do you think BYU would have still been in the mix at the same level, or did living in this state help?
Yeah, I mean, it helped. Definitely just being in Utah, like, I mean, I just like the environment. And like Salt Lake, I mean, Salt Lake is different than Hurricane. Hurricane's like way peaceful. Salt Lake's like a city and stuff like that, but I mean, it's just good. The state's good, so I was like, I might as well stay here.
AJ DeBonsa is on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, that prompts another question. What do you like to do most outside of basketball?
Sleep.
That's important. You're a growing young man, AJ.
Okay, another follow-up question. And you told me this during our interview. You don't have your driver's license yet. Is there a future plan to put that in place before you get to BYU?
Yeah, I told my dad I'll get into April.
So. Nice. That's coming up. Kidding.
In time to go to prom, perhaps?
I won't be going.
No prom? No prom?
No problem, no. I think. It's going to be awesome. What have you enjoyed the most about, you talked about living in Utah. What have you enjoyed the most about living in the Beehive State?
Being peaceful. Nobody bothers me.
That's an important thing to you. I think in Provo, that will be exciting as well. Although, during Jimmer Mania, it was very exciting. People got excited about being around Jimmer. So how do you kind of handle all the attention that you get as the number one recruit in the country and a projected number one pick in the NBA?
I mean, just be yourself. That's really it.
Okay, straightforward and simple. Okay, I also want to follow up with the conversation that Jerem was just referencing with Kevin Durant at a recent Utah Jazz Phoenix Suns game. When you're sitting there courtside with him, what type of advice and commentary is he giving to you in those moments?
That specific game, I mean, we were just catching up because that was his first game back from injury. So he was just telling me, like, he's just excited to be back and that he's going to put on a show that day. And he definitely did.
Then there's that moment where it shows up on social media where he has an and one and he's flexing. And it almost looked like you guys made eye contact. Do you recall that moment?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like, he like, missed, like, three shots before that. And, like, he was, like, talking. And he looked at us. He was like, "All right, bet." And then, like, he scored. So he looked at us. And I was right next to his, like, manager. So, yeah.
You gave him a nod. I thought it was a nice gesture. It was just like, yep, nice shot. Nice shot.
Yeah.
Tell us about the influences in your life, on and off the court. Who in your life has influenced you, and whose opinion do you care about the most?
Definitely just my parents and my two sisters are, like, the biggest influences. I mean, my younger sister, too much of an influence. I'm older, but my two parents.
Do they play ball like you?
My young sister plays volleyball.
Very nice. Hey, got to jump, got to swing, got to use that athleticism. Hey, mom and dad, athletic as well?
Nah, my dad plays soccer.
So okay. Your dad plays soccer. Very yeah. Cool. Did he play growing up? Did he play in college or pro, anything like that?
Yeah, he played college.
Where did he play?
Massasoit Community College in Brockton.
Let's go.
Hey, way to rep Brockton.
Let's go. Okay, a little soccer, a little volleyball.
Hey, fun fact, by the way, Massasoit. There is a statue on campus of Massasoit.
Oh, yes.
I'm not kidding. That's pretty cool. Nice connection.
There is.
Yes.
And there's one in Plymouth, Mass as well. You can go see the same. The sculptor or whatever is from Springville, just down the road. So there you go.
Maybe I should go.
We got to get a picture of your dad, Ace, next to that at some point. And again, let's stay with the family theme here. I enjoyed getting to know your dad. I know that you spend a lot of time traveling with each other. But I also want to give a shout out to your mom. And you mentioned to me again in that initial interview that she really challenged you to take your studies seriously at BYU. And you told me, like, you're big into finance. So what are you looking forward to most about developing there at BYU in that regard?
I mean, the path that I'm going towards, I should be making a lot of money. So I need to know about the money. So.
No question.
And that's the most practical way is, right, hey, let's manage this. Let's be smart. So Ace is your dad's name. Is your mom's name Chelsea? Is that right? Very cool. How old were you when you realized that playing basketball could be your profession and what you do in your life?
I was like 14.
Okay, so all of 3.5 years ago, what happened? What happened in that moment when you're like, I'm pretty good at this, and I think I want to make a living out of it?
I mean, I kind of just grew 5 inches in 3 months.
When you were 14?
Yeah, so I was like, okay, maybe I should, like, try.
just a couple months later, like, I'm pretty tall right now. I imagine shoe size just exploded, just all kinds of different shoes at some point?
I was like 6, like 2, so I was like 13.
And then you sprouted up from there?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's incredible. What size shoe are you right now?
I'm a 14. My foot hasn't grown, so I might be cooked. I might be stopped growing.
well, here's 6'9's jumbo wing. You're pretty good. Here's the thing. Once you get past what, like 16, 17, they don't even make half sizes. It's actually okay. You can actually, you have better options there, but you do have your own shoe deal, do you not?
I'm signed with Nike. I don't have a shoe deal, though.
Gotcha. In the future, I'd imagine that's hopefully in the plans.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the shoe of choice right now for AJ DiBonza?
I like a lot of shoes. Next game, I'll probably wear some Kobe's. But I wear a lot of KD's, Sabrina's, a lot of different shoes.
I love it. Yeah, Sabrina's a great-looking
shoe. That's awesome. It looks sweet. I love that one.
Okay. You're wearing the USA on your chest. As we wrap up, I did want to ask you as well about what it means to you to represent the USA in those regards and go and play in those international competitions.
I mean, it's fun. Definitely see how, like, other countries just, you know, are taught different ways of basketball. I mean, it's, like, challenging for us as USA guys to just adapt and, like, run through all these screens because we're just learned how to taught we're just taught how to play like fast paced stuff like that. But I mean, we're usually just like a lot more athletic and stuff like that. But I mean, this year, U19, I'm a tryout, and it should be like some of the best competition. You actually might see me and Xavion on U19. So
heck yeah. Hey, let's just go. All over the place, man. I love that. Did want to ask you, hardest class in school right now? What is it?
Hardest class? I have like all A's and B's, but no, I'll say real estate.
Real estate.
You have a real estate class. That's great.
It's not hard. It's not hard. It's just that like there's a lot.
Mm. Sure.
And what's your easiest and like favorite class?
Well, this semester I have to take health, so that's pretty easy.
I love to smile along with it. AJ, great to have you on BYU Sports Nation. We'll do this again soon. In the meantime, we wish you well in your studies, that you maintain those A's and B's, and that you crush your driver's exam at some point. And I'm certain that we'll be following up on said driver's exam as we move forward.
Yeah, we definitely will. Thank you for having me, though.
All right, AJ, take care,
man. Thanks, AJ.
AJ DeBonsa, we literally played 40 questions with him.
We got a lot of questions in there. We learned some stuff, too, which is great. We're looking forward to having him on as regularly as possible over the next couple of weeks and months.
Dude, love the driver's license conversation. Loved his response about playing with Team USA as well. Great stuff.
Yeah, he grew 5 inches in 3 months when he was 14. Holy mackerel.
Hurricane Utah.
Hurricane, shout out.
Living his best life.
Shout out.
Okay. We do need to mention that Utah Prep hired former NBA head coach Keith Smart. He's going to be AJ's coach down there for the duration of his high school career.
Jimmer's coach with the Kings after they fired Paul Westphal.
Yes, so you're right. Head coach for 3 teams in the NBA, including of Jimmer with the Kings. National champion in college basketball
as well.
Got
an NBA head coach in high school.
There you go. It's cool opportunity for Xavion and AJ there to play for Keith Smart.
That's awesome. He's headed to Paris next week, by the way, so we'll catch up with him in 2 weeks. BYU Basketball with Kevin Young coming up Thursday night, 8:30 Eastern time on the BYU TV app.
Puka Nacua and the Rams advancing in the NFL playoffs in Arizona, plus one other BYU team climbing the rankings. Details on the way. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. It's time for a loaded edition of headlines.
Men's basketball hosts Oklahoma State tonight. BYU heavy favorite by as many as 15 points. Cougars looking to snap a 3-game losing streak. Pre-game coverage begins at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Whose house? Rams house in Arizona.
No, Puka Nacua. House, but...
Yeah. Puka caught 5 passes for 44 yards in a Rams dominant 27-9 win over a really good Minnesota Vikings team last night. So with the victory, Puka and the Rams now take on the Philadelphia Eagles in Philly in the divisional round of the playoffs. Good luck to Puka and LA.
Men's volleyball moves up spots, number 5 in the latest ABCA poll. First time since 2021 that BYU has been ranked inside the top 5. How about that? BYU plays Thursday and Friday at number 6, Ball State. So a couple of important matches early in non-conference.
Delaney Gibb of BYU Women's Basketball named Big 12 Freshman of the Week for the 4th time this season, which prompts me to say, let me know when she's not the Big 12 Freshman of the Week.
We'll inform you when she doesn't.
It's the most weekly awards by a freshman in program history, not shockingly.
Really? Wow.
In 2 games this week, Gibb averaged 17 points, shot 41%, 5.5 rebounds, and averaged 4 assists.
Catcher Ilovea Brittingham, infielder Danica Acosta, and left-handed pitcher Jada Villegas of BYU softball were named to the Softball America's Freshman Watch List. Nice freshman class.
Indeed. Love that from Gordon Eakin and his squad as they look to ramp up things in the Big 12.
They always recruit well.
After the break, BYU basketball assistant coach Tim Fanning, has had an interesting path to prove he belongs in the basketball world. That is the feature in our latest Deep Blue. This is BYU Sports Nation. Sports Nation, we are live in Studio B alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton. All right, being told he wasn't good enough to make his high school basketball team is just one cog that set BYU assistant coach Tim Fanning on a path to prove that, in fact, he was and is good enough. Good enough to make the team and to have a career in the game of basketball. That drive has paid off and brought his path now here to, of course, BYU. This is Deep Blue featuring BYU men's basketball assistant coach Tim Fanning.
In high school, I remember very clearly the coach saying, like, you know, you're not going to make the team. And it was something that was, like, crushing. In terms of, like, just wanting something. And, you know, not getting it.
When somebody cuts you off, it's not easy. And it's probably one of the hardest moments that you live in your life. But after a while, when you settle down again and you just get back on focus, that's for sure a great motivation, which is, I'm going to prove you wrong, which is, I'm going to prove me right. I can make it.
I was literally working as hard as I possibly could. Like, I was, you know, jumping rope for 30 minutes a day. I was waking up at 5 o'clock. I was doing ball handling drills. I was shooting by myself after practice, literally 500 shots a day. So I transferred schools and had a wonderful experience. Went and found a team, St. Mary's. I ended up being a role player on a state championship team that next year. And then that senior year, we moved up to the top division in California, and we played against the team that I got cut from. We won that game, and I started the game. I think I made 3 three-pointers in the first, like, 90 seconds. And it's just something that motivated me and continues to motivate me to go and chase my dreams.
What he wanted is, I want to live the dream of being in an NBA team and a EuroLeague team. I didn't make it as a player. Why not as a coach?
The two main routes for somebody that's not, you don't have in Spanish, enchufe. If you don't have any kind of like in, you either start as like a volunteer or you start as like a grad assistant. I didn't really want to do either one of those things. I wanted to coach. I had an opportunity to go to Spain and be what I thought was going to be an assistant coach on an under 16 team. And then I showed up for the first practice and the sports director said, you're not going to be the assistant, you're going to be the head coach. And for me, this was wonderful because now it was an opportunity to put some of these things coming from all these different notebooks into practice.
He came to Spain where he didn't knew the language. He had to learn it almost here.
I knew I didn't want to coach a team in English, so I got the guys together and I just said, juntos, duros, positivos, which is like together, like tough and be positive. That was a very impactful thing for me as a coach because my limited vocabulary required me to keep the message very clear. And I think that that was something that still resonates with me today.
He's been always eager to learn from anyone who could just give him new experiences, new information, new knowledge, and that paid off.
He's always on the run to prove everyone that he is deserve to be here, deserve to be there, and he does it with a lot of motivation.
6 years in Spain, 1 year in the G League, 3 years in New Zealand, including with the national team, 6 years in Israel in the EuroLeague level with Maccabi Tel Aviv, and 3 years back in the States.
That level of coaching that he was around, you know, worked for a lot of legendary European coaches, trying to, you know, gain knowledge from what he picked up over there was super interesting. And then because he was over there for so long, developed a lot of relationships with a lot of the basketball community over there. So that's really helped out in recruiting. I mean, he's a guy that you could literally drop him off in any country, really in the world, and he's going to know how to navigate it. He's going to know some basketball person. And because of that, you know, we've been able to, you know, get our hooks into a lot of different recruiting prospects all over the world.
If sometimes he has to take what for some people may seem like a step backward, he has to get the impulse forward in the next step that he's going to take, he doesn't hesitate to do it. He loves being in court. He loves helping players to grow. He loves improving. And that's all what matters for him. If he needs to do things that other people don't want to do because that helps him achieving his goals, he's going to do it.
I love just the stuff that he thinks about. I mean, it's unconventional, you know, and it makes you sit back and man, I want to see this. Like, how is this going to play out, right? You're talking about sacrifice. You know, he's a guy that's sacrificed a lot to put himself in position to have these opportunities that he's had the last few years.
It's been a long journey, and it's been a lot of obstacles. I missed my best friend's wedding. But I'm pretty sure if I would have gone to it, I wouldn't have had a job. Because it was a tough moment in the season, coaching overseas. Can't just take off for 2 weeks. And the fact that I've made it to here, you know, at this university is like, I feel blessed. I really do. I feel like I'm on the right track and just to continue to chase it.
There are those coaches. We stepped into coaching because one dream was cut off. But when you start your coaching career, there's no limit. Limit is the sky. You just look above and there's no ceiling.
I just want to tell Tim thank you, because I honestly believe that without him, that I would not be playing to this day. His energy and his coaching and his belief in me sparked an 11 plus, because I'm still ongoing, year career, and I've got to see so much and do so much and live my basketball dream.
What would you tell yourself that was just told you were going to be cut from the high school team?
Just keep going. The darkest moment of the night is right before the sunrise.
Great story on Tim Fanning. You can watch other Deep Blues shows, interviews, content on the free BYU TV app and BYUSN.com.
BYU men's basketball, you may have heard, hosting Oklahoma State tonight. So in that line, we look at the top five wins in general over the Cowboys in the Big 12 era. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. You know what time it is. Top 5 Tuesday. Let's go as we look back on the top 5 moments for BYU athletics against Oklahoma State in the Big 12 era. Count us down, Jeremy, at 5.
Men's basketball winning the regular season finale last year on senior night against Oklahoma State. This was an answer to a loss in Stillwater, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
BYU shot 69% in the second half, ran away for an 85-71 win. Fouss had 19. BYU's 10th Big 12 win of the season secured the 5 seed in the Big 12 tournament.
Game was weird for a little bit, but it ended in a BYU win. Number 4, BYU women's soccer with a dominating 5-0 victory in the Big 12 tournament just a few months ago. Beat up on the Cowgirls in the quarterfinals. Micah Cromanhook, Allie Fryer each had a brace in that victory. BYU jumped out to a 4-0 lead in the first 29 minutes and never looked back.
Number 3, softball upset. Number 4, Oklahoma State. This was game 2 of 3 in a series at Miller Field. BYU hit 2 grand slams. Hunter Ava, Haley Morrow. BYU won 11-8 to upset number 4, Oklahoma State. BYU's first win over a top 10 opponent since 2014.
A 2 grand slam win.
That's pretty awesome. Woo,
against a top 5 team.
Not bad.
At number 2. This is also awesome. You may remember this moment and this game during an unforgettable BYU football season. Number 13, BYU 6-0, hosting Oklahoma State as a heavy favorite. They needed some late game dramatics from Jake Retzlaff. BYU in the final 30 seconds. Retzlaff connecting with Darius Lassiter. Whee! Into the end zone. Dance on him, Darius. BYU beats Oklahoma State.
But it's not number 1. That would be men's cross country winning both the Big 12 championship and the national championship over highly ranked Oklahoma State. November 1st, BYU upset number 1 Oklahoma State to win the Big 12 cross country championship. Climbed to number 1, still considered the underdog to number 2 Oklahoma State by many. BYU won its second ever national championship, upsetting the Cowboys for the second time in 3 weeks.
Clean sweep, national champs, cross country.
If I could go back in time, I'd win the 74 Fiesta over Oklahoma State.
Our question of the day, what does a proper bounce back look like for BYU men's hoops against Oklahoma State tonight? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, in from at R. Yowen underscore 1830 on X, who says, beat the spread.
A lot going on.
ESPN
there.
Has BYU by 14.5. A 15-point win feels solid, but Utah won by 21, so I want 22.
That's fair.
Okay. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Puka Nacua on his first NFL playoff win. Lost last year against Detroit in the playoffs, beat the Vikings. Good luck to Puka.
Let's go. Our thanks to today's guest, AJ DeBonsa.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time.
For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Tim McTyre. We'll see you tonight for BYU basketball pregame at 8 Eastern. Go Cougs!